It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hello, friends. This is the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankum, and this is a little podcast I do to put out there into the world and hopefully enhance the leadership capacity of every volunteer leader listening to this. Now, those volunteer leaders specifically are LDS leaders, individuals called to serve in ways that are above them. And so hopefully the items you learn on Leading LDS can supplement kind of those open spaces you have in your ability that will help you match the calling you've been asked to do a little bit better. Now, today I bring to you a very practical solution. On various posts on Leading LDS, I have talked about, and others have talked about, this concept of calling management, right? Whether you're in a bishopric, a stake presidency, an elders' quorum presidency, a relief society presidency, you are dealing with callings, calling new people, releasing old people as new move-ins come in, as people move out. And it's sort of this calling economy that can go really smooth with the right tools and leaders in place, or it can just be a headache and something that takes up a lot of your time and takes you away from really ministering to the individual. And the more we can get you as the leader ministering to the individual, the better and more effective leader you will be. And so I put out an article, and I'll link to it on this post, but I put out an article about, I forget what I call it, but I talked about a project management system I use to manage callings. I've used it on the ward level, and now I'm using it on the stake level. And then as that got put out there, I got an email from Cassie Woolley. And Cassie Woolley is a programmer that lives in Australia, and her stake, just like every other stake, came across this problem of managing callings. And so she developed, with her programming skills, what's called LDScallings.com, and a very simple application that any ward or stake can use to manage the step-by-step process that's required when calling new people, or this also includes ordinations, and really fantastic tool that I encourage you to check out. So I asked Cassie to come on my podcast, just run us through it as best she can, kind of explain the motivations behind it, how it can work, how other leaders can work. And it turned into a great interview. And she also shared some additional tools that she's programmed, LDSconventions.com and scripturecharts.com, that are fantastic tools for the LDS people as well. And so here is my interview with Cassie Woolley in Australia. Cassie Woolley, how are you, Cassie?
I am great, thank you.
Nice. Now, I'm recording this about 2 in the afternoon Utah time, and you are just waking up there in Australia, right?
Yes, it's a little bit early.
But you've been so kind to allow me to ask you some questions, especially before your kids wake up and you got to start your day. But maybe specifically, where do you live in Australia?
I live just south of Brisbane, so between Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Oh, cool. And were you born and raised there?
No, I was born in Adelaide. I was raised in Canberra. I've lived in Tonga. I went to BYU Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
And now I live in Brisbane.
Cool. And were you born in the church?
Yes, I was.
Okay. And many generations, or how far back? How many generations?
Oh, my dad's going to kill me. I can't remember. It's like 7, something like that.
So pretty.
Yeah.
And is that typical in Australia, or I'm just a naive Utahn here? So
there are some families, yeah, that do go quite back. There's a good mix. There's a lot of newer members, and there's some families that go way back.
Oh, great. Cool. Yeah. Now, and what sort of, did you say, so you went to BYU Hawaii.
That's right.
And is that where you met your husband, or?
No, I met him when I came back to Brisbane after BYU Hawaii.
Oh, okay, cool. And is he a lifelong member as well?
Yes, he is. He's from Tasmania.
Oh, wow.
And his family's also been in the church for quite a while.
Wow. As you know, as a kid growing up in the United States, Tasmania is just like this mystical place that you don't actually think people are from, right? It's just, but people are really from there, huh?
They are, lots of them.
That's
especially,
cool.
Especially if your last name's Woolley.
Oh, yeah? So Woolley's quite typical Australian name?
No, it's common in Tasmania.
Oh, Tasmania. Okay.
The big cool. family. Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Well, that's fantastic. Now, being a Latter-day Saint in Australia, and talking to somebody from Utah, what would you say is the biggest or the best difference about being a saint in Australia compared to maybe the United States in general?
Oh.
And I'm really throwing some curveballs at you.
Yeah. We've been to Utah. I guess the thing we really notice when we come to Utah is you just can't drive 5 minutes without seeing two or three chapels. So that's a really big difference here. Our chapels are quite a bit further apart. The chapels are a bit different. I guess we don't have as many people living close to us that are members. Uh-huh. So I have friends in Utah where their ward is a few blocks.
Right.
So, you know, things like visiting teaching, that would make a big difference. Here, our ward stretches probably half an hour south of where we are.
Cool. And how far do you have to travel to your chapel?
We're not too far. It's only about 7 or 8 minutes.
Oh, cool. Right on. And are you the only ward in that building?
No, there's two wards in that building.
Oh, okay.
Our stake center has 4 wards in it. Our stake center is about a 45-minute drive.
Oh, great. Great. And now you're currently, you told me prior to recording that you are currently serving in the Stake Relief Society presidency. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Again, how long have you had that calling?
This is my 3rd year.
Oh, wow. Okay. And anything, have you served in Ward Relief Society presidencies before this?
Yes. Yeah. I've been a Ward Relief Society president.
Oh, cool. And how long ago was that?
About 10 years ago.
Okay, cool. Now the one thing, you know, I was just recently put in a stake presidency, and so I'm sort of becoming more familiar with the stake auxiliaries as opposed to the ward ones. And one thing that kind of I never really thought about till I was on the stake side of things was that the Stake Relief Society presidency, their roles and responsibilities are not as vast, I would say, as a Ward Relief Society presidency. Obviously, a Ward Relief Society president, you know, has stewardship over the Relief Society. There's a lot of one-to-one, you know, interaction and fellowship. Where on the stake, you don't get that luxury of connecting individually with sisters. Would you agree with that, or how would you articulate that?
Yeah, no, you're right. As a Ward Relief Society president, you do deal with a lot of the sisters in the ward. In stake, it's true, we don't get as much of that individual interaction. We do get it with the Ward Relief Society presidencies because we talk to them and we do training with them. But we do, I don't know if all Stake Relief Society presidencies do this, we do teach in the wards at least once a year, and we're trying to visit at least once or twice outside of that. So we do the teaching so that we can try and, I guess, connect with some of the sisters in the wards that we don't know. Because being a large stake, I don't know a lot of the sisters, especially in the south side of the stake. So, like I said, that's one way that we can get to know a few of the sisters through teaching.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, when you teach in the wards once a year, is it a typical lesson, or do you come with a specific message from the Stake Relief Society presidency?
We usually ask the Ward Relief Society president what she would like us to teach. And it's usually a ward conference.
Oh, okay.
So we'll get a topic from them, which may have come from the bishop. But often it's just whatever the lesson was going to be for that day.
Oh, gotcha. And the goal of that, obviously, being a ward conference, you're hoping to just get more familiar with the ward and also have the sisters there get more familiar with the members of the Relief Society Presidency on the stake level.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, cool. Well, great. Well, I do a lot of interviews where we really dig into the aspects of a specific calling and someone's experience there. And though I'm interested, the reason I am invited you to on the podcast today is for a website that you put together, more like an online application called LDScallings.com. And maybe give us the background of how this came to be, because I think it's a very valuable resource that a lot of leaders can check out and see if it would be a good fit for the administration side of their callings. But maybe where to start is, are you a programmer by trade, or what's your background professionally?
Yes, my degree is in computer science. And so I've been a computer programmer now for almost 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now I know
that's my background.
In the United States, computer science, if you go into walk into any college that has a computer science program, I think like 5 to maybe 10% are female. Is it similar there? I mean, is this kind of a rarity that you a female is a programmer?
It is. It's getting better.
Good.
I know when I was at BYU, I was the only female in most of my classes.
Okay.
and in the early days going to conferences, yeah, most of them were male. I do work at home these days, so I don't get to many conferences and those sorts of things.
Sure.
I do know other female programmers, and it is becoming more common, but yes, it is mainly a male thing.
Yeah, and that's good to see kind of that shift, because it is it's a growing industry for sure in a world of many dying industries, right?
Yeah, and I'd love to see more women at least look into it, because it is a great career in terms of being able to do it from home.
Cool. So you have this background in programming, and the state clerk, I think if you you can tell the story and fill in the gaps here, but the state clerk came to you and was looking for some technical help, right? Maybe tell us that story.
Yes. So the state clerk emailed me, and he had been trying to set up some Google Forms and Google Sheets to manage all of the state callings and the state ordinations. So I had a look at what he'd done, and there was quite a bit in there, but it just seemed too difficult to try and do it in Google Forms and Google Sheets because there's so many steps and processes.
Yeah.
So I had previously set up a couple of systems for church, and I thought this was probably a good candidate. So I spent probably a weekend or two, and I built him an online application to manage the process of receiving, approving, and tracking stake calling requests and stake ordinations. So Melchizedek priesthood and Aaronic, well, for stake it's Melchizedek priesthood ordinations. I also thought, having been a ward relief society president, I'd seen the same issue happening in wards. So I built it so that it could be used by wards as well. So it'll also do Aaronic priesthood ordinations. So I thought that if I was building it for them, I might as well build it in a way that it could be used by anyone else, so that the time I was going to spend would be more worthwhile. So I set it up so anyone can have an account for their stake or ward.
Cool.
And use it.
Nice. So the basic idea is, whenever there's a new calling, maybe an Elders Quorum president or a Relief Society president submits a name for an instructor, let's say, there's obviously a handful of steps that need to take place before they are in front of the class teaching, right? Is that the problem it's solving?
Yes. So for a ward, for example, the Relief Society president would be given access to this system. So she would fill out a form saying, I want Sister Smith to be my Relief Society teacher. That form goes to the bishopric in the system, so they get a list of the requested callings.
And does that come to them as an email, or they just see it the next time they log in to LDS Callings?
It gets emailed to them as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll see it when they log in, but they also get an email, so they know there's something new in there. So from a ward point of view, there's less steps than stake. So in the ward, the bishop will, bishopric will obviously then discuss it, and there's a section to put their notes and to mark whether they approve the calling. And then there's some steps after that where they can track that the person's been interviewed and accepted and sustained and entered into MLS.
Wow. Very cool. So that, so the idea is once the, and I love the fact that there's a request, a calling or release form. So there's no emails or texting or phone calls that need to take place to get that information to the bishop or the stake presidency. They just come in here, they fill out the form, and then they know that, and there's a place for comments if you need further, you know, explanation of why this calling or release is happening. And then from there, they can take it to the next step, right?
Yeah, that's right. The idea is that they would just open this when they're in their meeting and see, okay, here's the list of callings. These are the ones that we need to discuss for approval. These are the ones that need to be interviewed. These are the ones that have accepted, and we need to sustain them this Sunday. So I'm hoping that it saves them a lot of time and just makes it a bit easier and harder for things to fall through the cracks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then once that's all, once they go through everything and they're updated in the computer system, then it just disappears at that point as far as like the task or that ticket?
They can still find it, but it won't show up as being current. So when they first log in, they're seeing a list of these are the things we need to do. Once they've done everything, then it doesn't show up in the current list, but they can still search and find the old ones for the records.
So, and then I'm just seeing at the top, and I know this is an audio explanation, but it was for something that's quite visual. And so I encourage everybody to go check out ldscallings.com. But there's also a tab, there's one tab for calling and releasings, a request form, and then a priesthood ordination form, right? And yes. Let's see.
Yep. And similar. Yeah. Similar
and,
idea.
Yeah. And it just says what priesthood office they're going to and in their current office and everything that the clerk would need to know filling in this information, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the difference with ordinations is it's not a auxiliary leader that's going to be filling that in. It's more the clerk or the bishopric identifying these are the boys that are coming up to be deacons. These are the ones we need to work with. This is their target date.
Yeah.
And then after it's all done, they can track who did the ordination, that it was entered into MLS, that the certificate was given.
Wow. Yeah. So each individual step, even the small ones, you know, that certificate can sometimes get overlooked, right? But it's you make sure you don't skip that. So, and then who can have access? Like, does the bishop or stake president have control of granting access to people or, you know, limiting access to others as they're released, or how does that work?
Well, normal people, like your regular members of the ward, wouldn't even be in here. Normally the people that would be accessing it would be in the ward level, the bishopric, the exec sec, and the clerks. The other auxiliary leaders don't actually have to log in. They're given a link that they can use, which links to a form. So they don't actually need to be logging in.
That's great.
Really, the only people logging in are your bishopric, clerks, and exec sec. On the stake level, you can create logins for your stake presidency, exec sec, clerk, but you can also add logins for high councilman. Because on the stake level, you have the added step where you need to get approval from the High Council for callings. So there's a system in place there to be able to get that approval.
Ah, yes. That's one thing I'm dealing with as well, realizing that every stake calling has to go through the stake High Council, right?
Yes.
And so how does that work? Does the stake High Council have a login, did you say, or they are able to approve a different method?
You can do it a couple of different ways. Depending on how tech your High Council is, you can give them logins.
Right.
But the other way that you can do it is you can have it send an email. So once a calling is approved and it's ready to go to the High Council, you can have it send an email to each High Councilman. And in that email, it has coded links that they can use to vote to say, yes, I approve, no, I don't approve.
Oh, wow. So they just click on it and it
Yep.
They click on approve and they're done.
Yeah, there's a spot where they can put some comments if they go through it. But yeah, so they can approve or not approve via email, so they don't have to log in.
Ah, and so, but, and if they do have, like, say they disapprove, and obviously there's an explanation behind that, there's a place for them to comment.
Yes, they can send some comments or reasons.
That right there is worth the whole website, I think, because we go through this process, you know, you get a new calling, and it could be, you know, just this simple, assistant clerk in this ward, and they just need to get it filled. And here you are, you know, sending out this email and, you know, twiddling your thumbs as you're waiting for this approval to come back so you can move on it. Right. And so this is just streamlined.
Or if you're doing it in a meeting, where you've got all the high councilmen, the clerk can actually enter the votes as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
There. So
perfect.
So you can do it either way.
Very nice. Now, and that's great. And I mean, it's a very simple thing when it's put in a simple format like this, right? But this is one of the, you know, so just talking about it, I feel like, man, this is like so easy and simple. But when you do it without a tool or a format, you know, an organized format like this, it's just emails are going back and forth. And I, you know, I've been that bishop or that auxiliary leader that's just thinking, man, what is taking so long with this name I submitted 4 weeks ago, right? Like, what, where are we at? So can the auxiliary leaders check the status of certain callings, or I guess they wouldn't have a login, right?
Yeah, no, like I've thought about that, but I think
that's maybe another layer
around that. Yeah, because I mean, I'm conscious of the fact that, yes, we do sit there as a Relief Society president thinking, oh, it's been 6 weeks, what are they doing? But,
right.
But you know, I'm aware that they have a lot going on. So,
right.
Yeah, so I don't know that it would be helpful.
A little more complicated than it appears.
Because really all you're going to see is, yes, it's pending the bishopric approving
right.
it. So
right.
you're not going to see any private notes saying the bishop's thinking about it, but the sister has this issue. You know, there's, I think that that's kind of beyond the scope of what it should be doing.
Yeah. Sure. Sure. Well, perfect. That's great. Now, have you any other ways that you're looking to expand this? To me, it sounds like a pretty comprehensive tool. Are there other aspects you're still working on?
No, I think it's pretty complete at the moment.
Cool.
Yeah, I had someone contact me this week and we had just a couple of extra tick boxes to match the process in the handbook more closely. I guess our state didn't ask for that, so I didn't really know about it. Hmm. But I think it's fairly comprehensive.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there's also, you know, I use our state presidency uses Asana as a project management tool. And I know other bishoprics and presidencies use Trello. Is there, and I asked you about this, you know, through email, but as far as connecting it, so once something's submitted, it can all be linked to a third party project management system like that, or is that a whole nother programming nightmare?
Well, you'd have to identify in what way you want it to connect and what you want it to do. I mean, systems like Asana do have APIs, so it's possible to connect to them.
So it would just be a matter of you looking at their API and making it connect.
Yeah, well, also whoever wants it first deciding what they actually want it to connect to do.
Right.
You know, if you say, I have a project and I want, you know, it to add something to that project, and we'd have to know what it should actually do with the API.
This is why you're the programmer and I'm not. These are problems I go crazy about, but very cool. So, excuse me, any other church-related, I think, did you mention you have other church-related projects that you've worked on or?
Yes.
You'd like to go into?
I created ldsconventions.com.
Oh, wow.
That one's been around for a couple of years now. That's come about because, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, we were asked to do registration site for our first EFY here at the time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we built something for that, and then we got asked to do multiple YSA conventions after that. So I realized I was just going to get asked to do convention after convention after convention. So I built LDS conventions so that anyone can just go on, create a convention, and it allows them to take registrations, to put up some basic information about their convention. It can take payments, and then there's quite a comprehensive back end to manage the registrations, so you can search on all different criteria, and there's a process for the bishoprics to be able to log in and approve the registrations, because for EFY, which is now FSY here, every registration has to be approved by the bishop. And that's a bit of a nightmare if you don't have something to manage it, because we have 1,400 kids going to our FSY. So, yeah, there's quite a lot of things that it does in the back end. So I have that one.
So just an oddball question. Why is it called FSY in Australia?
For the strength of the youth. I think it was something to do with copyright for EFY, I think.
Oh, really?
Because EFY is a BYU thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there's some legal concerns there.
I see.
Yes. Yeah. So.
For the strength of youth something makes more sense to me, because it kind of goes with that brand of for strength of youth. But anyways, interesting. I learned something every day about Australia, so this is good. So this is, I'm on the site right now. It says LDS Conventions is a free event management system that will help you to manage your convention or event. This includes YSA, single adult, release society, stakeball, women's conference, yada, yada. And then it says it can connect with the church payment gateway in Australia. What is that?
Yes. In Australia, the church has a merchant account.
Oh, really?
With one of the banks here. So we used it for the first EFY. It just means that we can take payments online by credit card.
Oh, wow.
And the money goes into church bank account.
And then the ward can see it as maybe in the other account or as a...
it's all lots of fun.
Sorry, I know this is totally off the mark. But this is...
Yeah. No, the church offices, I think in New Zealand, they have to transfer the money that's come into that through that payment gateway to your stake or the ward, whichever one's managing the event.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So you could have like a FSY, you know, EFY type event, and it's going to cost $100. And so you up here, people can go in and register and then submit payment for that, right?
Yes. And you can create different types of sort of tickets. So with YSA conventions, often you'll have like a full-time option or a part-time option, or I just want to go to the ball. You can set all that up. And then in the back end, you can see, you know, who has registered just to come to the ball, how many people are going to be coming to this activity.
Wow.
Yeah, for FSY, you can also set up things like your groups with the leaders. So in FSY, you have, I think it's groups of 8 kids, and each of them have a couple of leaders. So you can set all those up and print out group sheets. And you can also manage your accommodation, because here they do it at UQ. So there's several different buildings, levels. So they have to manage quite carefully where each person is staying, because they have to stay in their groups. Yeah.
Very cool. And this is open to anybody that wants to use it, like LDS Callings? Look at you just letting your light so shine and just programming your little heart away, and this is fantastic. So any other programs you've created or apps?
I also did scripturecharts.com. That one's like an online scripture like chart that you tick off the readings that you've done.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's just, only done online, or is it like a separate app or?
It's a website again. Okay. It's designed so that it'll work on a phone or a tablet as well.
Oh, okay.
But it is a website. It's not an app.
Cool. And so for any, you've got all sorts of, all the scriptures, the manuals.
I quite regularly get asked to add different manuals and books there.
Wow. Looks like you need to add the ponderize hashtag somewhere on this. But so for example, I'm just looking down here. You've got the Teachings of the President of the Church manual, right? and someone can go in there and they just mark off what chapter they're on. And so,
just keep track. It shows the readings, and then it has little boxes where you can tick the ones that you've done. If you put a target date, so say you're reading the New Testament and you want to have it finished by Christmas, it'll tell you what you should be up to today to make that happen.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Great. Well, this is fantastic. Any others that you got up your sleeve here?
I think that's the only church one. I've done a online journal one, but that's not really specifically church.
Uh-huh. Cool.
Yeah.
Any others that you're planning in the future that you, once you find some extra time, that you're going to jump on?
I don't have any other church ones up my sleeve, no.
You know, now that the church has gone to, you can submit your elders' quorum presidencies, or at least say presidents can submit their home and visiting teaching reports online. I mean,
yeah,
that was a big need for a while.
And I'd love to see some of this stuff put more into MLS and LCR.
Right.
But I guess I'm just trying to fill the gap in the meantime and save some headaches.
You know, and that's all I'm trying to do as well with leading LDS. I realize, you know, the church only has so much time and resources that sometimes it takes a member just to stand up and say, you know, I can probably do that. And once the church catches up, so be it. But until then, you know, I want to help the kingdom move forward and supplement some of that extra space the church just doesn't have time or resources or have it as a priority to get to yet, you know, but it could be a priority to others. So
yeah, they are working on event registration that's coming.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, especially for FSY. There are people already using their system for FSYs.
Well, that'll be great. I haven't worked too much with the youth, so I haven't seen that as a huge need in my callings, but I bet as I have some of these other callings that there's probably a lot of need for event registration that I don't realize, you know. So
yeah, well, I've had even some relief societies have used it for their relief society conferences or craft evenings, that sort of thing.
Cool. Well, great. Well, cool. Well, Cassie, I appreciate, again, waking up early and taking some time to chat with me today. And again, I just want to make these resources available. You know, what a blessing and an act of service it is that you've, you know, used your skills, your professional skills to make life easier for leaders across the world. And especially this one that, you know, with callings, that there can be such a bottleneck effect that happens because, like you said, the bishops or stake presidencies, they've got a lot coming at them. And sometimes calling is the last thing on their list. So if they can approach this better in a way that will streamline that, will make it easy to review in their meetings, man, what a blessing that is. So I encourage everybody to check out LDScallings.com and obviously LDS conventions and scripturecharts.com. These are great resources. So Cassie, the last question I have for you, I ask a lot of the people I interview on the podcast is, as you have served in these leadership callings and served in the church and now, you know, found ways for you to serve and that nobody specifically asked you to go above and beyond, but you did it anyways, how has your service made you a better disciple of Jesus Christ?
Oh, gosh.
It's maybe too early for such questions.
I think the main thing that changed getting into more leadership positions is the way I see other people, I think. I think before, and maybe it comes with age as well, but I think it's easy to look at other people and be a little bit judgmental, but I guess moving into leadership, I think I see them through different eyes, if that makes sense. And you can see more of what's made them who they are and why they make the choices that they make and become a little bit more understanding. So I think that's probably one the biggest way that leadership has helped me. And I think that does make you a better disciple if you can learn to see other people differently and see them through the Savior's eyes, I suppose.
That concludes my interview with Sister Cassie Woolley. And I hope we all can look internally and look at our talents and skills that we've been blessed with, our professional ability, that we've been blessed with and think, how can I bless the church on a greater level with this capacity? And I think we all have some skills that could really bless the church and bless others trying to serve in the church or whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be in this capacity with programming, but I'm sure there's something. And what an example Cassie is to do something in her extra time that probably isn't there as somebody who's a mother and in early study presidency and, you know, busy demands of work, but she still found some time to put together a resource that is fantastic. And so I'm grateful for her to do that. And I hope you find ways to do the same. Now, I appreciate you again, as always, listening to Leading LDS. Great way to help Leading LDS move forward and continue to provide resources like this. You know, each episode costs me about $10 to $15 with all the editing and, you know, having server space and all sorts of things to host this. There's an expense there. And a lot of the time I just, pay it. And that's fine, but I've created some tools and resources and ways that you can contribute through the Consequence Stick or the Food Order Reference Guide. And any contribution you put there would be fantastic. Hopefully getting closer to making this a nonprofit so that that'll create additional ways that people can contribute and carry this mission forward. I have great plans for the impact that we can do to help the church create great leaders. And I realize that a lot of that, those leadership capacities or that leadership training and encouragement comes directly from the church and our leaders. And that's fantastic. And they do a very effective way with that. But I think there's other ways that we can contribute as well and supplement and help them focus on what they're best at. And hopefully this is a way that's a blessing to the church. And I hope you're finding it as a blessing. So, and as our unofficial sponsor of Leading LDS, Fiddler Studios, if you are a small business anywhere in the world that just needs a simple solution to get a great website that you'll love, let me know. Contact me. Fiddlerstudios.com is my day job. And the more successful I'm there, the more time it will create for me here to spend with Leading LDS. So until next time, be a leader and not a colleague.